But hello, I'm Gloria, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And I've been one for probably 62 years. I was born into a very loving but very chaotic family. When we moved upstate, we moved to a small community, and apparently, my family was the neighbor was the street's entertainment. Because there was a lot of havoc. That said, my compulsive eating when I started kindergarten, it was a lot, like I said, it was a lot of havoc, a lot of yelling, screaming. The violence was starting somewhere around 5 years old. And there was nothing I enjoyed better than just hiding. I started kindergarten at the time I started eating compulsive. My weight started going up around that time. I didn't see it as compulsive eating at that time. It was for a 5-year-old, it was seeking comfort. Back in the day when kindergarten was still half days, I went to the morning sessions. I have three older siblings and two younger ones. So when I would come home for lunch, when I actually, I take that back. When I started kindergarten, my mother was still pregnant with number six. So my kid sister was down for her nap when I'd come home. So I had my mother all to myself, and she would always serve me lunch. So for this 5-year-old who was I tended to be inward, introvert, and being around people scared me because I never knew how to behave. I never knew how to act, what to say, what to do. So part of my favorite thing about being in school is I learned how to read so I could be in a book, and hide in the book. Kindergarten still meant it meant for me coming home, lunch, and food. Love food. Food meant love and comfort. And my that said, my first compulsive bite, and I was born and grew up in part on Long Island, New York State's Long Island, and. For those of you who don't know, that's just east of New York City. And I lost my, oh, my first compulsive bite was about 9 years old when we were still down on the island. It was somebody's birthday, and my mother had made the birthday item, but she hadn't put the topping on it. And I suddenly didn't feel well. And yet, I was old enough. Be able to stay home alone for that hour that as they went to mass. I'm Catholic. And she had asked me to put the topping on it. And I did. And then I licked it all off. And it didn't occur to me that she might see that. And I apparently didn't care. I didn't make the connection. So that was my first compulsive bite. And it was my first compulsive bite was sugar. So what came with that was. I liked sugar, and I even liked more. I liked more. And that, my weight was for me, my weight was never really a problem. For everybody else, it was. And I never made a correlation between my eating and the food. My weight came an issue for me. When I was graduating high school, I saw a picture of myself, and I had just gotten weighed a few days before that picture was taken. And I weighed 199 pounds, and I'm only 5 feet tall, or was 5 feet tall. I'm now 4'11". So that's that picture. Eventually led, well, I have to say, my weight led my parents to things for me to do. At one point, I was on diet pills, but I became a raving lunatic.
5 minutes.
Thank you. And other things. I remember one time my parents wanted me, and I went to a pay and weigh, or weigh and pay. And that, I only put a half effort, and I stopped going there when, with this particular weigh and pay. I don't know if it's the same at, with all of them, but you got weighed in front of everybody. And I didn't lose an ounce. At which point, the leader of that particular meeting thought it was a good idea to shame me in front of everybody for not having lost weight. And I've always been a firm believer that, I could shame myself all on my own. I do not need anyone's help at all. Thank you. And I'm certainly not going to pay for it. So I left, but somewhere around that first picture where I was at 199 pounds, I had gone down back down to the island to visit my aunt and uncle. My aunt and uncle would always have one or the other of my siblings down for a couple of weeks in the summer. And my I come from a long line of people who had problems with their weight. My aunt did, her cousin does. My cousin, her daughter does. My father and this aunt's mother, there isn't a picture of her being thin ever. And it is a family thing because I just found out recently that my niece had bariatric surgery, which is a good thing because she's finally taking care of herself. I also 12-stepped her, but it's in the family. So I had gone, and I bring that up because I had gone down to see her, and she brought me to my very first OA meeting. This was in 1974. And I walked in and sat at that meeting, and it's like, oh, I like this place. I liked this place because there was no weighing and measuring. There was no musts. There was no, you have to eat this, you can't eat that, you have to, It was just people sharing their experience, strength, and hope. One of the first things that came to mind was, I have choices here. With those choices, though, as I get more some consequences. That's it. For the next 25 years, I left, came back, left, came back. Because when I lost all that weight the first time, excuse me, it's like I graduated. I thought I graduated and left, and then gained it all back. And it was another one of those things where I saw a picture and it's like, oh, okay, I need to go back into OA. Because it was always about the number on the scale. But one of the things I remember thinking, OA was the solution. Regarding my weight, OA will always be the solution. I did not yet understand the correlation between, still yet, the correlation between my eating and the number on the scale. And why I was eating. So fast forward to 1999. In between my first stint in OA and 1999, my weight would go up. Every time my weight went up, it went up further than it did the last time, and it wouldn't come down as far as it did the last time. And so I, in 1987, I, from 1982 to 1987, I lived in Rochester, and I had been in OA there, and I had gotten a sponsor, and I had done all I was at. This particular sponsor often liked to tell me, there are no musts in these rooms. If you want what I have, though, you'll do as I tell you. And I did. And I did, and I lost all the weight, and I moved back to the Albany area. And I came into OA, but I got to tell you, OA meetings in each region, in each area, are different. I'd go so far as to say,
10 minutes remaining.
Thank you. If you have two meetings in the same area, those two meetings will be, can be sometimes not diametrically opposed, but different. And I started comparing. And at one point, it's like, you know, I could do this better, you know, because one of the things that happened when I came into the rooms back in 1988 or in 87 was there was a, you know, I can't blame it on a click, you know. There was this click. I would come in. People didn't know if I was new to OA or just new to that area. And I just got this like cold shoulder, this wall of, you know, of, yeah. So I left. And that started in what I call an adventure into hell of my own making. And I'm grateful for that period of time because I started understanding the correlation between my weight and my eating and why I was eating. I was eating because I was angry. I was eating because I was angry. Rarely did I eat because I was hungry. I ate because I was angry. I was lonely. I was tired. Somebody added on, somebody in this area added on an R to the halt. I ate because I resented. Oh boy, did I resent. And I came back, my mother, unbeknownst to her, 12-stepped me on May 26th, 1999. She 12-stepped me by walking out of my apartment. I was raging. I was a rageaholic. I was raging at her, and I haven't the slightest idea as to what all that rage was about, other than I wasn't being, you know, I wasn't being heard. I wasn't, you know, people were doing things that people didn't understand, and I was just raging, and she says, okay, fine, I'm leaving. I'm not putting up with that. And in that moment after she left, in that quiet, I had this intuition. I had the thought that comes to mind is, I think you need to get back into OA. I really do. I think you need to go back. And I know that wasn't me. That was intuition. And it's often been said that intuition is God speaking to you and wanting to remain anonymous. That intuition told me I needed to get back into the rooms. And, you know, experience has told me, my OA experience has told me that every time I leave the rooms, every time I try that experiment of leaving the room, thinking I could do this on my own, I fail. I go back, I take back all the weight, and I take back all the stinking thinking, plus more. The thing that kept me out of the rooms between 1988 and 1999 was I can't do OA. I can't afford the food. I can't get on the bus. I'm too heavy. My top weight, just before I came back into the rooms in 1999, was 337 pounds. And like I said, I'm only 4'11". So that was a lot. And I was going to try and share pictures to show the newcomer that this works. And it does, because I got to tell you, I got back on the scale. I got on the scale yesterday at my doctor's office yesterday. And I had been on the scale a year ago and I weighed 141 pounds. And that a little bit of, you know, I can make excuses and say, you know, it's part of that, you know, the pandemic 15, you know, and that's okay. You know, I gained 11 pounds. And so, okay, let's deal with it. Oh, I got on the scale yesterday and I had lost a pound. And part of the reason I had lost a pound, I don't know if my weight has gone up in the 2 years. I don't know if it went up further, but it was nice to see that actually, if anything, went down. And it it was at least stable because when I realized I was not walking, I changed my food plan back to the food plan I had when I was still in the weight loss area.
15 minutes.
Thank you. And, so the last part of this, I'm going to talk about what I do today, physically, emotionally, and spiritually to stay. So I keep coming back because I don't want to go back to that place. Physically, I follow a food plan. I weigh and measure. And I weigh and measure because my history tells me when I eyeball it, I will put on twice as much as what I need because my disease is a disease of more. I want more. Part one of my character defects is feelings of deprivation. So I weigh my food so I know I'm not being deprived. Now I'm going back to walking quite regularly, at least 3 times a week. Emotionally, I come to a meeting every single day. One of the few things I'm grateful for regarding this pandemic is it's given me a chance to go to a meeting every single day. And I will sometimes go to 2 or 3 meetings. In fact, I often go to 2 meetings a day. And part of the reason why I come to meetings is because I am still that little girl that wants to hide in the corner and just be left alone and isolate. And when I isolate, I'm going to talk myself back into the food. But I also come because all of you are God with skin on. I hear my higher power through all of you, but I also hear my higher power through literature. I often read exactly what I need to read in the moment that I need to read it. But my spiritual program, which it took me 15, 15, seven, yes, 15 years to get a hold of, because when I came back into the rooms, I apparently said, okay, thank you, God, for bringing me back to the rooms. I'll take it over from here. And I did. I tried managing and being self-reliant. And I had lost a good amount of the weight that I needed to lose, but I plateaued and I didn't know how to get off of that plateau. And eventually I just said, screw it, and started getting back into the food until I had gotten on the scale one day at the doctor's office. And oh, I found 25 pounds. And that was very humbling. And that enabled me to say, I have nothing to lose but to trust that higher power that brought me back into the rooms. I had to learn how to trust. I've often said, I not only did not learn how to trust, I learned how to distrust. And one of the things that always given me is the ability to trust that higher power that brought me back into the rooms. I am at a healthy body weight. I am not isolating. I go out into the world, and most importantly for me, I have a relationship with a higher power. And I never had that before. So my time is about up according to my clock. I'm going to mute and hand it back over to Claire. Thank you very much.